Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. In this part of John, Jesus is preparing his disciples for a time that he will no longer be with them. And he's beginning to share with them the direction of the relationship that God has in store for them and for all people. And so he says to them, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower or farmer. And then he says, my Father removes every branch in me that bears no fruit, and every branch that bears fruit, my Father prunes to make it bear more fruit. And then a little bit later, it says, those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, but whoever does not abide in me or bear fruit is cut off and thrown into the fire. This text has been used for lots of things over the years, and sadly, one of the things that it's been used for is a way to keep people out and to separate those who belong and who do not belong. And so the question would be asked, are you bearing the right kind of fruit to be part of God's kingdom? And so if you didn't have the right theology, or maybe you were the wrong color, or maybe you were the wrong religious persuasion or denomination, you were the branch that got cut off and thrown away. The gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. But I wonder if that's what John is after. As we looked through this text together this last week, we asked the question, what then is fruitfulness? If this is all about fruit and fruitfulness, what does it mean to bear good fruit? Well, there's been all kinds of answers over the course of history. And it's some of them are things like, fruitfulness is all about productivity. You know, bear fruit, make something happen. As a manager, I'm one of those people who likes that definition. I like to actually see people do stuff and do what they say that they're supposed to do or that they're going to do, and then actually do it. So bearing fruit in that way is an important thing to me. But is that what God means for us? Those of you who are older will remember that bumper sticker that said, Jesus is coming. Look busy. Did you ever notice it doesn't say, Jesus is coming. Get busy or be busy. It's just, look busy. Is that the definition of fruitfulness? Does Jesus mean in this text that the branches bear good fruit and that that fruitfulness is right moral behavior, perfection in the way that you live your life, a following of the clearly set out set of rules that each of us must follow that we might please God? Is fruitfulness connected to being the right kind of person for God or God's community? This text has been used as a way to exclude all kinds of people. I even once heard it preached that we could not have homosexuals in the church because they could not bear fruit. Someone later said, well, what if you're sterile? And heterosexual, you still can't bear fruit, and therefore you must be outside. Or as some good friends say, we're not breeders. Sorry, you're out. Is that what fruit is? As we read a little further into the text, we begin to get a better sense of what Jesus is after in this text. There's a part of this that's really, really important that we sometimes miss. It says that we are to, Jesus says to those who are listening, abide in me as I abide in you. You can't be a branch that bears fruit, Jesus says, unless you abide in the vine. That somehow our ability to bear fruit and our fruitfulness is connected somehow with being a part of the main thing. If you've ever been around fruit trees, you know that there's a certain time to prune things. But if you have a fruit tree that blossoms and then you cut the branch off, will it ever bear fruit? No, it just dies. And so when we read that text about branches being cut off and thrown into the fire, we read it as punitive, as being God saying, look, you don't quite measure up as a branch. You're a crummy branch. And even worse, we decide who the crummy branches are. But what if instead, this was really a text about what happens when we abide in the vine as the vine abides in us? And how does Jesus abide in us? With absolute, unconditional love. It's so opposite of the way this text is often used. Abide in me, pitch tent with me, stay with me, minnow with me in the same way I minnow with you. I will be cut off, Jesus says, and yet I will remain with you no matter what. Even if you are not heterosexual or white or perfect or been a Lutheran your whole life, which is not a bad thing, or if you are even, oh no, what if it means that God even will abide in you if you don't happen to be a card-carrying, unionized Christian? What if God's abiding is so radical and so complete that it includes even us? We heard in the first lesson in Acts that Philip was hanging out and he heard someone reading scripture, and it was the Ethiopian eunuch who gets no name. We'll call him Bob. Bob the eunuch is reading scripture and overhears him reading the scripture, and he goes up and he says, do you even understand what you're reading? And he says, how could anybody understand this stuff if they didn't have someone to guide him? So Philip begins to teach him about the word of God that he might bear fruit. And there they are riding along, and you know, he's not the kind of person we would expect. He's not the kind of branch that we want. He's the wrong color. He's an Ethiopian eunuch, which sort of places you outside of most social circles. Those of you who don't know what a eunuch is, please feel free to look it up on Wikipedia. So he's the wrong color, and he's a eunuch, and he's not Jewish, so far as we know. And his boss is Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. Okay, that's four strikes. And yet, Philip goes to him and teaches him scripture. And then I love this question. what is to prevent me from being baptized? Well, you're the wrong religion, the wrong color. Your boss is a queen of Ethiopia. And you're a eunuch. But God abides with him. And water is poured over his head in grace, and he bears fruit. If ever there was a story of the wideness of God's grace and mercy, that would have to be it. And I have to say, if Queen Candace's black eunuch, non-Jewish dude can get baptized, if God's mercy is that wide, then God's love is big enough even for our world. You see, the branch, all of us, abides with the vine in the same way that Christ abides in us. And that is our calling. That is our calling, to bear fruit. And the fruit that we bear is the exact same fruit that Christ bears. The fruit of love. And when we bear that fruit, the world is fed. And it is a tenacious vine. It grows where we do not want it to grow. I know you've heard me tell this story before, but remember the vine that would not die that I told you about? Some of you may not know. I have a vine on my lanai that will not die. And I put Jimmy Castro to work on it, and he went out with my machete and he cut it off. And then he cut it like this on the top and pounded it down with a rock, and he poured salt on it because we were right next to a stream and didn't want to use Roundup. And he assured me it would die. I went to grab my barbecue off of the table to take to the youth event, and that vine had grown up and inside and around the... It did not die, and that is the tenaciousness of the vine and the branch that God has planted in you and in me. It grows where it should not be able, and love lives where it is not wanted. It opens us up in light and love that the world will see not our fruit, but God's fruit made manifest through Jesus Christ in you. And it will take all kinds of amazing shapes. In feeding the hungry, in sharing a moment with a lonely person, it will bear fruit in accepting someone and loving someone who does not look or sound or smell like you, who may have a strange accent or a strange way of being in a world, who might not even be Christian. And that fruit will change everything. By this, we will know that we abide in God and God in us, because we have been given God's own Spirit, it says in 1 John, so that we have known and believe that God has love for all. And so go and bear fruit, for you are God's branches. How cool is that? Amen.